This show furnished by Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervy and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervy, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. Now, they say in radio that you can't see what I'm doing now, and I kind of believe that, but I'm actually staring at Carrie Kasem, and the first words to me when she saw me were,
"Yeah,
don't stare."
Yes.
I'm staring.
I know. I got my face lasered off. And what's so funny is
you have no face left.
Basically, it's just very red and looks like a massive sunburn with all these brown spots. It's terrible looking. And if you want to see it, I literally put a video up.
No way.
Of me. Yeah, I had the whole video of me doing this. It's up on my YouTube channel. It's on my Instagram. It's everywhere. It's called the Halo Laser. And I videoed this entire thing.
Oh my
getting
goodness.
My face lasered off, literally.
I'm looking at you and I can't take my eyes off you. It's like,
it's pretty bad.
Is that a face?
I know, it's pretty bad. I'm swollen, but it felt like a sunburn the first day, and then it just takes about 5 days to heal and you look like you have amazing skin. It's the best thing.
No, I'm looking forward to it. So I'm going to stare at you once your skin is amazing, but right now it's just a freak show.
And it is. And it is. Say it like it is.
I love the Kasem Cares Foundation hat.
It's hiding half my face. Let's say how we got here.
Yes,
first of all.
Ahead.
Okay,
why don't
so
you tell?
I can't wear sunscreen quite yet. I can do it tomorrow. So I can't drive because I have tinted windows on either side, but not my windshield. So I couldn't drive here. I'm like, okay, well, Alan, you're going to have to do the show alone. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I can't drive. I don't have anybody to drive me. I'm like, I have to hide my face. And he said, you know, well, I'll come get you. So I squeezed in between the two baby seats in the back. I couldn't sit all the way back, leaning forward. I look like the Unabomber or whatever it is.
It was scary because I always look in the back seat and see my cute little kids, Hudson and Harper, back there. I look back there and it was just like scary monsters. Good thing they weren't in there. Car seats. But by the way, Hudson and Harper are very famous now, so I don't know if they'll drive with me because they were a social media sensation this past week.
What happened?
Well, we went to the Kings game, Los Angeles Kings game, and they were playing the Winnipeg Jets, which is my team, my family's team, being from Winnipeg. And I got there really early to the game, took the family. And as soon as we got there, went to Starbucks to see seven of the Jets players, some of the superstars, Patrick Lyon and Mark Scheifele and
were they supposed
Kyler
to be there?
Myers. I just know these things.
Oh.
I just know how to get around LA. And there they were.
Wow.
And actually, Scheifele had seen the kids last time. So I said, hey, Mark, we're back to have coffee before the game. And anyway, they took these amazing pictures.
I saw
with
that.
My kids.
Okay, I saw that. All right, all right.
And there were seven players, and they were all dressed up. Lion A was wearing a purple suit with a purple bow tie, no socks, really cool looking. And of course, being the master marketer that I am, I sent the pictures to the Winnipeg Jets communication department. And they put it up on Instagram. There's like 20,000 likes and counting on Instagram. It's on their Twitter feed, the Winnipeg Jets Twitter feed, NHL Jets, and on their Facebook page.
I have to look this up. What's it on Instagram?
NHL Jets, NHL, I believe, Instagram.
Okay.
But some really, really great comments, some funny ones about the players, and it was great. And so they've become a sensation, internet sensation. They went viral.
Oh, yes. That is so precious. I see it now. Wow, the guys look snazzy.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
They look, and they're so big. I mean, the kids look tiny, tiny,
yeah,
tiny.
So if you want to see them, go to the Winnipeg Jets Instagram page, NHL Jets, Twitter feed, or Facebook, and you'll see Hudson and Harper with about seven guys, Tyler Myers, Dmitry Kulikov, Sammy Niku, Patrick Laine, Nikki Ehlers, Mark Scheifele, and Adam Lowry. Adam Lowry's wearing a really fancy, cool hat. So it's a really great thing, and the kids had so much fun. Thank you to the Winnipeg Jets for doing that, the players being so gracious to my kids, and for beating the Kings when they were in town, and also thanks to the Winnipeg Jets Communications Department. You're the best. Speaking of the best, we have the best show today.
We do.
Well, I don't know about that.
No, but it's so funny because you know we're in Los Angeles. This is going out to mostly Los Angeles. So yes, we are all over the internet, but people are hating you right now.
No, there's a lot of people who listen all over the world. That's what why we say KBC.com.
I know, but no,
people listen KBC. And our podcast, Gervie's Law, go to the podcast. You can hear these shows every week, even if you're not listening on Sunday at 5 p.m. in L.A. or 8 p.m. in New York. But people listen from all over the country, all over the world. There's a lot of European hockey players on the Jets, and one of the pictures featured four of them with my kids. So a lot of people in Finland and Denmark and Russia are listening to us right now.
Yep.
And just to change the subject a tad,
okay.
I wonder if they have these college admission scandals in Russia and in Finland. Probably not.
I don't know. You know, Russia maybe. Who knows? Maybe, but...
No, I don't think so.
Who knows? I mean, it is, you know, it's not necessarily corruption-free.
I imagine it isn't. But I'll tell you, things have changed a lot since I was a kid. And I tell this story only because it was some years ago and I was trying to get into college and I didn't use my parents' influence. And that's kind of what bothers me with some of these parents who are dictating where their kids will go, obviously in an illegal way. But when I was a kid trying to get in school, I wanted to go to Brown University. I went on a debate trip with my debate team and we were there. And while I was there, I actually went to the admissions department. I asked for Jim Rogers, who was the head of admissions. Somehow he was there at his desk. I walked in and I said, I want to come to this school. How do I do it? I'm this little boy from Canada. He was so amazing. You know, he took note of who I was. He started talking to me and he said, oh, wow, you're here for a debate tournament and we'd love to have you. What's your name? And took all the information down. He gave me an application and
how
I applied.
You?
You know, how old are you usually?
What, 15, 16?
No, I was 18.
I mean, don't it was you time start to go to college.
No, oh, no, I wasn't
yeah,
that
some
smart.
16,
I didn't start
17.
At
yeah,
I
yeah.
didn't start
okay.
at 15.
Okay.
I actually finished high school. But, you know, the funny thing was, I might have been 19. I don't even know.
Really?
But I was precocious. I never told my parents, never told them. And I applied and got in and I received this. My mom and dad came up to me and said, oh, there's something from this school, Brown University. What is it? And I said, I opened it up and it said, oh, it's congratulations, you're admitted. And they said, what is that? Where are you going? What? You're leaving? You didn't tell us. And that's how it went. So my parents apparently were very different than the Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlins of the world. They had no idea that behind their back, and then I actually applied for financial aid. I did it on my own. I went through all kinds. I went to the library and did research on different grants that I could get, applied all that without them knowing. Very different from the parents now who apparently pay off admissions people and test-taking people to get into schools.
Yeah, but I don't think that's the norm. And let me ask you this. Were your parents proud of you that you did that?
I don't even know. You know, it wasn't one of those things. I mean, I think they were proud of me anyway. It didn't really matter what I did. They just felt proud that I was a good citizen. So, you know, achievement and success and everything weren't really that important to them. It was just important that I was a good person.
Wow. I just think there's not a lot of kids. Maybe not. Maybe there are, but none of my friends that took that much initiative, that got their own loans, that applied for everything, didn't tell their parents that.
No, I didn't tell my parents at all. And then when it came to law school, it was interesting because I had taken some time off after Brown and I was a DJ on a cruise ship. I was working for Princess and I was acting and I was...
Was that when you went to American Academy?
It was after American Academy.
Okay.
I got this job. It was on the bulletin board at American Academy where I would go on a cruise ship. I went with 200 people. I lied and lied and said I was a DJ. I knew how to spin records. I didn't know the first thing about it. Out of 200 people, I was selected. They sent me to Port Everglades in Florida.
Did you fake it? How did you do it?
You didn't have to do it. We just talked. I just said, oh yeah, I spin records. I know beats per minute and I know all this stuff. I had no clue. I got to Port Everglades for my first cruise and I went to the club, the disco. I had no idea what I was
doing. You didn't learn before you
did
went?
Did not learn. And thankfully, there was a guy, Norm Lawson, who was there, who was the stage manager, and he knew how to spin records. And I said, Norm, can you help me? And we went during the daytime, and he helped me. And the first couple of weeks, he was actually doing my job for me. And then I learned how to do it, and I became a really accomplished DJ on the cruise ship. But I don't know what gave me, did. And it was funny because the previous DJ who was there was just leaving when I was getting off, and he was this professional, and he was with all these girls, and he was so rude and mean to me. He said, I'm not talking to you. I've got these women here on the ship that I'm taking care of. And but good old Norm, and I returned the favor to Norm because I introduced him to a woman who actually he ended up marrying and having kids with. So while we were on the...
While you were on the ship?
On the ship, yeah.
Is he still married?
I have no idea. Norm lived in Orange County, so if you're listening, Norm, let me know if you're still married and how your kids are doing. But thank you for helping out, because I'd gone to the top deck, and I thought I was going to jump off the ship, because I had no idea there were hundreds and hundreds of people on spring break trying to dance in the disco, and I was shaking because I'd never
I can't
spun
even believe you even
life.
Said that.
Yeah. Sometimes you do what you need to do.
That's crazy.
I know, your face looks as shocking as it did when I first saw you when we came in. So finally, before we go to break, I want to tell you a story about law school, because I was on the cruise ship and I was in Alaska spinning records, and my parents got back at me because I had a break and I called them from Alaska and they said, congratulations. I said, for what? He said, you got into law school. I said, what are you talking about? I didn't apply. And they said, oh, we did. And they applied for me.
No.
While I was on the cruise ship doing that dirty... Remember I told you I did the dirty dancing, mm-hmm. the striptease on the cruise ship yeah. as part of my DJ thing. I boom, 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 let's go back to my room. We can do it all night. That was what I was doing, tossing and juggling my shoes as I took my clothes off. But on the telephone, I can still see it. I'm in a phone booth and in Alaska, in Ketchikan, Alaska, and they're saying, you got into law school. And I'm like, I didn't apply. And then, of course, I said, okay, got off the ship. That was one way for them to get me off the ship.
Yeah.
Got off the ship and started law school.
That's crazy.
So those stories are a little bit different from what we're going to talk about today, because we're going to talk about the college admissions scandal. And our guests today are Lori Kopp Weingarten, and she's the co-founder and director of College Admissions Counseling, One Stop College Counseling. She's going to talk about what she does and how shocked she was to hear about this. And then later in the show, we have Jan Ronis on, and he is a criminal attorney, and he wrote about this subject, and he's going to give us some insight into the legal issues that these people accused of being involved in scandal will face as we move forward. So that'll be later, Jan Ronis. And after the break, we're going to talk to Lori Kopp Weingarten. And if you want to hear about the college admission scandal, don't go away. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Clear thinking, free discussion. AM 790 KABC.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, giving you a new perspective to enrich your life. Now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Finally, a good tune, Wayman.
Oh my gosh.
I'm hot today. I really am. I'm just going to listen to this. If you missed the first segment, I was ragging on Carrie's face. She got some laser work, and now Wayman, I'm telling him he's finally playing a good song.
God.
What, that's it? Oh, man. All right. So, before the break, I teased you, not about the stories of me getting into college and law school, but about what we're going to talk about today, the college admission scandal. Everyone has an opinion on it. The U.S. Attorney in the District of Massachusetts charged 50 people in federal court as part of the long-running nationwide conspiracy to illicitly gain admission for high school students to top colleges and universities. And by the way, Carrie, you know I'm just kidding with you. You really don't look that bad.
I look horrible.
You'd look like you were at the Bahamas and you just spent too much time in the sun.
I have brown spots all over my face with red puffiness.
It happens.
I would look horrible.
Do you want to give a plug to your surgeon?
Seriously, I love this guy, Dr. Kian Karimi. We got to have him on. He's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's amazing. Well, the last guy we had on the show botched. What was his name? Nassif or
Dr.
something?
Dr. Paul Nassif.
Nassif,
we had Nassif on. I'm an anti-aging, like, freak. So you can see everybody that I've worked with. But
well, maybe we'll get the surgeon on and take calls for what people need to do to look
fun.
As beautiful as you do.
Aww,
and Wayman,
nice.
I love the music you play.
You are so full of it.
So many parents apparently paid $200,000 and up to have their children admitted to various colleges and universities. Everyone's heard about it. Felicity Huffman, Lori Loughlin charged as part of the alleged scheme. And so many people have weighed in on their shock and appall of how this went down with so many wealthy people getting into different schools like USC. Why would anyone pay to get their kids in there?
Oh my gosh.
Yale, Stanford, Georgetown, some of the other schools. And Lori Kopp-Weingarten, she's a counselor for and co-founder and director of the College Admissions Counseling, One Stop College Counseling, wrote an article about her take on the admissions scandal, and we're welcoming Lori to Gurvey's Law right now. Hey, Lori, how's it going?
Good. Thanks so much for having me on your show.
Well, it's great to have you. I read your article with interest because you have a lot of experience. You're not just talking like a lot of people are. You've been living this for so many years, helping people get into schools the right way, the legal way. I know you said in the article how shocked you were. Did you have any idea that some of this goes on when you're working so hard to do things right?
As outrageous and appalling as this was, I'm shocked and not shocked because, unfortunately, certain parts have been going on for a while. So there have always been a lot of stories about cheating on the SAT and the ACT. There are many different ways to do so, and that's been a constant problem. Then the next part of it where parents were paying to have their children diagnosed with learning differences.
Wow.
So that they could get extra time. I mean, for most of us, it is really surprising to hear this. But unfortunately, being in the business for so long, I've heard this before. I would never suggest this. Most of us in the business would never suggest this. But there are parents who feel desperate to make sure their child gets into a top school and they'll do this. The shocking part to me was how this man, Singer, was able to convince enough coaches. It wasn't just one coach. It was multiple coaches. So it's not one bad egg. It's many who he went to and said, hey, let's Photoshop my client's picture on a water polo athlete or on a soccer athlete or a crew athlete. That's the part that was really surprising. I had heard of a story like that last summer, one case at an Ivy League school. And at the time I thought, wow, that's pretty brazen. But to have this many going on, that was the part where I think most of the independent counselors in our industry kind of paused and said, wow, like, this is not good.
This is like ego for the parents. It's not really like, hey, I care about my kid. It's like, I want my kid going here no matter what the cost, no matter if anybody finds out, there could be jail time. And in the case of Lori Loughlin, her daughter, who was this big social media star, they destroyed her. She's lost a lot of contracts. She's lost everything. And she's, you know, reading.
Well, by the way, Carrie, I've watched her on YouTube and she probably deserves to lose all that.
I mean, she's, you know, but she's
horrible.
She does, but she also said several times she really didn't care to go to college. You know, it's like, right. Mom made me. And I think she shouldn't be penalized for something that, whatever the ego is or whatever this mentality is, it doesn't make any sense. Like, what's very upsetting is I've heard this many times before, how many people will literally say, I have a mental illness. They will be diagnosed with a mental illness and people take it so lightly. Like ADD, ADHD, dyslexia, that is something that is considered, ADD and ADHD, a mental illness. So now you want your kid to be diagnosed and have that over his head the rest of his life just so he can have 30 more minutes on a test. I don't get this. It makes no sense to me.
It's the bumper sticker. The parents want to put the bumper sticker on the car that my child goes to Yale, USC, Stanford, whatever it is. Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, there's no gray area. It is completely dishonest, just an awful thing to do. And why? I mean, Lori Loughlin's daughter didn't want to go to college. Yeah. So what's the purpose of all this?
Right.
Now she lost her sponsors.
She's lost everything. Yeah.
What do you think, Lori, of someone like Rick Singer, who has obviously admitted all of what he did and how he was the mastermind behind this? He must have been soliciting, like you say, coaches and test takers and people to do bad things. Now, you're trying to do with the college admissions counseling, one-stop college counseling, you're trying to get kids to get to schools the honest way. You must have a lot of resentment for someone like Rick Singer.
I don't know him personally, so I'm happy to say that. But, you know, in my mind, he's not even really part of our industry. He called himself a college counselor, but he was not affiliated with any of the professional organizations, the IECA, HECA, the National Association of College Admission Counseling. He had no certification. He did not have he was not a certified educational planner. He's just a businessman who did illegal things. And he called himself a college counselor. So this whole scandal is kind of about our industry, but he wasn't really part of it. So I feel like what he did, he ruined these lives, at least temporarily, of the students. And, you know, the parents were complicit. So, you know, I wouldn't say he ruined their lives. They had a choice there.
Right, exactly. Don't say he ruined their lives. Because obviously with a choice, but you have to wonder, Lori, why this didn't come out any sooner. Because obviously, if there were these deals being done, there were some people who must have been outraged when Rick, or I don't know what his methods were, but he asked them, oh, we can get someone to take the test, or we can put the picture on a crew person with big muscles and they'll get in. Didn't anyone complain? Someone say something? This has apparently been going on to some degree since 2011.
Right. I don't understand it. I mean, there was an article written about one man he approached who actually said, no, I'm not interested. My kids are going to do it the right way. Yeah. But that person, I guess, didn't report him. I have no idea how this went on for so long. But, you know, when so many people know something, usually somebody tells. And none of us really understand how this went on for so long. I think what happened with the colleges is that they trusted their athletic directors, and it didn't occur to them, I think now it will, but I think it didn't occur that when they give a list of recruits and say these are the students we want on the crew team or the sailing team, I think that they felt that those were true recruits, because I don't think a normal person who has any moral code would think, oh, maybe one of these people are really not athletes. They're just trying to get into our school. So I think there are going to be a lot of procedures in place now to make sure that the athletes are really athletes.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to not have those procedures. After the break, we're going to talk to Jan Ronis, who's an attorney, and we're going to talk about the legal implications of what went on. Before we do that, and before we let you go, Lori, I do want to ask you, because you do things the right way, we don't always want to focus on this negative stuff. Talk a little bit about how kids can get into school the right way, and what are the things that you do for them, which is not taking money to have tests taken by someone else. It's not photoshopping, and it's not paying for buildings. What is the real way, and how can people get into the school of their choice?
At One Stop College Counseling, we really try to start with students young, as early as going into ninth grade. We're not picking colleges at that point. It's way too early. They don't even have grades yet for high school. But we start explaining the process to them. Most families don't understand how the process has changed in the last several decades. So we'll start talking about what classes to take for different types of colleges, you know, depending on what level they're applying for or they think they might be applying for. We start talking about testing. We talk about what they can do with extracurricular activities. It's very hard when someone comes in as an 11th grader to try to change all their activities around or try to get them more leadership positions. We start talking about it early. So we'll go through, you know, how to make an impact in your school. And then eventually in 11th grade, that's when we'll start talking about how to do well in interviews and how to make a college list that's balanced where you actually can get into some of your schools, even if some of them are reaches.
Do you have connections, Lori, at schools that you try to foster with the kids?
Do I have connections with the colleges, you mean?
Yes,
or the high
exactly.
School?
The colleges.
The majority of colleges are very welcoming to independent counselors. So they'll invite us there to visit and they'll show us their programs. They'll let us meet admissions. They'll have us talk to alum and students and faculty. So in terms of if I have a question, I can usually reach out to an admission officer, you know, like a question about a scheduling or a question about the application. There's not usually a problem reaching out to an admission officer. officer, but we're not trying to ever make some kind of, you know, deal with them or talk about a student. We're just trying to get what they're looking for. I don't start listening. You know, we don't name our students who are applying or anything like that.
What a shock. What a shock. You're not trying to make a deal. You're just trying to make sure that the kid gets the best opportunity to get into the best school. Wow. You know, in this day and age, Carrie and I are just like, why aren't you paying them off? I mean, I'm saying that obviously facetiously. This scandal has really made people think, and hopefully they realize doing it the right way, like you're doing it, is really the best for your kid. Even if your kid doesn't get into the school of choice, they're going to be a much better citizen, and you never know, they may do even better than the parent even thought at the school that they get into. Lori Kopp-Weingarten from College Admission Counseling, One Stop College Counseling. We appreciate the time you've taken today to be with us here on Gervie's Law.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Alan and Carrie.
All right. So we're going to take a quick break. And after the break, we're going to talk with Jan Ronis, criminal defense attorney, who will talk about what's going to happen to these people accused of doing bad things in the college admissions scandal. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Your breakfast shouldn't be tiny. Go big at Norm's with the four deuces for only $5.99. You get two farm fresh eggs, two slices of perfectly cooked bacon, two sizzling sausage links, and two of Norm's scratch-made buttermilk hotcakes. All this for just $5.99. And it's available 24/7, but only for a limited time. Norm's, we deliver all day, every day.
Hi everyone, Lou Manfredini here with another House Smarts Minute. Metallics have been a staple of home design the past few years, but there's a new shiny material in town, and it's making a ping. Tin is in, with textures being the number one mantra in home design these days. Tin can add personality and a surprisingly modern style to a room while keeping it classic. More information is available at HouseSmartsTV.com.
No BS. Constitutionally guaranteed. AM 790 KABC.
You've heard of Murphy's Law, but have you heard of Gervie's Law? Anything that can go wrong can be made right. Now, here are your hosts, Carrie Kasem and Alan Gervie.
Nice, you're nailing it today.
Good
Wait
music.
A minute. We should do the college scandal more often.
For good music.
In fact, this was a song that I played as a DJ. And if you were listening to the first segment when I was on the cruise ship,
that you lied to
me. One of my favorite songs. It wasn't the remake, it was the original. And that I lied to get onto. I didn't pay any money. I didn't have any money to pay.
No.
But I did say I was an experienced DJ in order to get on that cruise ship and to be able to play songs like that. Wow, there's so many people are calling in this subject, Carrie. And by the way, your face is looking much better.
Well, thanks. Yeah,
I think the sun is helping.
In the last, 10 minutes? It's healed.
It's healed.
It's healed. I'm healed.
She's healed. She looks amazing.
Uh-huh.
And if you listen to the first segment, you know I said that she looked horrible. So you're
Let's
really...
tell people why, because people tune in and out. It's radio.
No, they don't. People never tune in and out to our show.
They always listen.
One hour.
I got a laser done in my face, so I look like a lobster with these brown spots, and I'm puffy. It's terrible. I look
that's
awful.
That's a cute look, but that's not what you look like.
Not so much, yeah.
Not a cute, puffy lobster.
I put up pictures so
you
people can see it.
You look like Darth Vader. So
it's so mean.
I'm not mean. I love Darth Vader. My kids love it.
Thanks.
You have a great voice, so you can't be. You know, we're talking about this college admission scandal, and we want to talk a little bit about the legal implications. This singer guy who was based in Newport Beach, California, said he was a college counselor and apparently had more than 700 clients. And it just begs the question how he had so many clients when there weren't any honest people saying that, you know, some of the suggestions he's making to get my kids into college are ridiculous and illegal, by the way. And there's really no indication that all of his clients participated in the alleged scheme. So maybe he was doing some good work for some of them. But when you think about the gravity of it and how many people were involved, there were 33 parents charged, 13 are coaches and associates of singers' businesses. And that includes the SAT and ACT test administrators who were apparently looking the other way when other people were taking tests. Jan Ronis of Ronis and Ronis, and he's a well-known criminal defense attorney who has been in the media quite a bit on CNN, Court TV, ABC, Fox News Network, and he's been on Bill O'Reilly and Larry King Live when those shows were around, has had a lot to say about this subject in an article called Parents in College Admission Scandal Could Serve No Jail Time. He's quoted extensively. So we wanted to get him on the line so that we can ask him some important questions about what's going to happen here to the parents, perhaps talk about class action suits against the schools, and whether or not things will change because of what has gone on with this college admission scandal. Carrie, I bet they will.
I think things are definitely, they're going to be looked at under a microscope for a while, I think. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see more people being indicted. More people
well,
coming
let's
down.
Ask Jan. Jan Ronis, welcome to Gervie's Law.
My pleasure. Thank you.
It's great to have you. Yeah, go ahead. I know you have something you want to clarify here.
You know, just a correction. I think the guy did pretty good work. The person who had the 700 clients, he did pretty good work for the people that he did it corruptly for, you know, because he got them into college. But the fact is, it was illegal.
Yeah.
And the consequences were that every, you know, number of people got indicted, including himself. So, you know, it's an interesting cottage industry that's sprung up the last number of years around people seeking to get into college and improve their chance of doing so. And I think it has encouraged and spawned a whole, you know, separate scheme of corruption. And it's undermined the integrity of the, you know, the entire process.
The entire process. And that's when we talk about class action suits, because people have talked about it. Personally, I don't think they can go anywhere with class action suits. But tell us a little bit about what the theories and why people are upset, especially those who these kids may have taken a spot from at some of these preeminent universities.
Right. I mean, listen, this form of corruption has, as I mentioned earlier, undermined the integrity of the entire process. I mean, parents hope for the best for their children, and they prepare them as best they can for admission into college. And all of a sudden, it's been revealed that on a gross scale, we always knew that there were minor imperfections, but on a gross scale, that people have been getting into college for years, really through it, a program of affirmative action generated by wealth, not by the things for which affirmative action, which is no longer, you know, really valid, but it was created for a noble purpose. And so a parallel affirmative action has been created, which, you know, has probably excluded lots of otherwise willing and acceptable candidates to get allowed an entry into college. I mean, it's really an outrage, because what's more important than educating our children, and what's more important than creating an even playing field so people can get on merit, not just because they have money.
Now, you're saying that you don't think people are going to see jail time. Do you think anybody will? I know that you were talking about the fact that there's no criminal history, really, for the violent criminal history. Do you think anybody
will?
Well,
I mean, sometimes I wear two hats. My one hat is I don't think people should go to jail for nonviolent crimes. But on the other hand, I'm not the judge. I'm just a lawyer.
Wait a second. Back up for a second. You're saying that people shouldn't go to jail for nonviolent crimes, generally speaking? I mean, wow, that's a bold statement.
Right. what I'm saying, and that may be an extreme view, but look, we have too many people in too many prisons for too long in this country.
Yeah.
And so there are a lot of people who could face, I mean, certainly it's never fun to be indicted. And when people are indicted or convicted, they face serious consequences. And one of which is a felony conviction, you know, for the rest of their lives, which excludes them from all kinds of opportunities, not the least of which are employment. And then you have the stigma of a felony conviction, and therefore all felons must be bad. But look, there are people accused in this crime that may suffer felony convictions, and they're probably good human beings, and they're likely not dangerous. And so there may be no point of, you know, incarceration consequences to crimes of this nature. That's what I'm saying.
But what about now, just simply punishment? We, especially celebrities, we hate to see when celebrities get away with murder, so to speak, when it's not murder. And people say, oh, there was preferential treatment. When Bill Cosby was put away, a lot of people were happy about that. And it wasn't necessarily violent crimes, but they're thinking, should Bill Cosby and his smug smile be walking around after these women have complained to the degree that they did about what he allegedly did?
Sexual abuse. I mean, it's a little different.
Right. I would never suggest for a second that sexual predation is equated with cheating to get your kids in college. I mean, sexual predation is serious. It's a problem that's been under, you know, recognized in this country for decades. And it's about time that people who have been living behind these walls of decency are revealed, and they should be punished. And prison is not too much punishment for offenses of that nature. But we're talking about crimes that are likely not to be recommitted by these people in the future. And so the question is, what's appropriate punishment under the circumstances? And certainly, you know, if somebody's otherwise been led a law-abiding life, the consequences that flow from a conviction of this nature are going to be catastrophic to them. They've lost their places in society. They've lost their honor, their reputations, and that's punishment in and of itself. I understand why people why should they get off scot-free? But nobody gets off scot-free with felony conviction. The question is, what's an appropriate level of punishment, and is incarceration appropriate under these circumstances? That's what I'm saying. I don't know the final answer to the question, but just as a general view, I don't see it as jail or prison worthy, because there are alternatives that will satisfy the same ends and needs of justice as incarceration.
When you're looking at crimes, you're looking at mens rea, which is the guilty mind. Do you believe that that can be proven in a court of law, that there was a guilty mind for some of these cases?
Well, I think there's strong circumstantial evidence. You know, look, I don't know all the facts, and I don't know really any of the facts other than that's what's been widely reported. But if people were photoshopping images onto athletes that weren't them, and they were getting admitted into colleges as pole vaulters and as water polo players and, you know, other athletes, I mean, certainly that's strong circumstantial evidence of a person's state of mind who may have engaged in that kind of behavior.
How?
Now, there are other men.
Sorry.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm wondering how these athletes got admitted. And then wouldn't you think the college would take a look at them playing or watch them playing? And
I mean, you sure would think, you know, these institutions that sparingly give these athletic scholarships would have an interest in finding out what the people that got in are producing. Yeah, I mean, it's shocking that the lack of oversight, you know, that I'm seeing as a result of this indictment.
You have to think about what the process will be like for these people. Having been a criminal attorney for many years, I know that Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman, it's been widely in the media that they've lawyered up, so to speak, with big shot attorneys, one from Foley Hoag and one from Latham and Watkins. So they're going to have a lot of money behind them to defend their situations, their unique situations. What would you say as a defense attorney, where are these attorneys going right now to protect the accused's rights, which is a fair trial?
Sure. I mean, it starts, you have a right to have an attorney represent you all through the proceedings. So it started as soon as they got lawyers and appeared in court with their lawyers, and presumably, and, you know, the lawyers admonished him not to make any statements about the case. So, you know, I'm sure it's a rather lengthy investigation, complicated. There may be wiretaps. I understand there are. There's certainly probably, you know, recorded phone calls between some of the cooperators and, you know, in these pretext calls in which they called people, got them to make certain admissions. And, you know, the lawyers can have to take a step back, review all the reported phone calls, surveillance. I imagine there's voluminous documentary evidence is going to have to be gone through. And the lawyer's going to have to, you know, after reviewing all the evidence, make a decision. Do I think that the government could prove this case beyond a reasonable doubt? And if, as lawyers, duty is to do. If the lawyer comes to that conclusion, then that's the time to start negotiating a resolution of the matter.
You know, I know that Rick Singer apparently said that, quote, "I'm absolutely responsible for it. The mastermind behind it," he told U.S. District Judge Zobel. Right. That's according to NBC News. So there will be a lot of this evidence that you talk about that of admission. I think Singer will get plenty of jail time. So I understand what you're saying about the parents, even though they're not innocent. Maybe they will avoid it. But, you know, we want to talk a little bit about that after the break. We do have to take a quick break. And by the way, Carrie, I just wanted you to know we did approach Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman to come on the show. But for whatever reason, shockingly, they...
Shocking.
They said no.
Well, I know the reason.
There you go. All right, we'll be back after this. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, lifting Murphy's Law to the highest level on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
All right, well, the music's gone downhill as the hour's gone on. You were on a roll and just missed it on this one, Wayman. I'm Alan Gervie. I'm here with Carrie Kasin. We are talking to Jan Ronis of Ronis and Ronis, and he is a well-known defense attorney in criminal law, handles serious crimes. He's in San Diego, and we're talking about the college admissions scandal. Jan, I wanted to ask you about the students involved. Through this criminal law process, will they be witnesses? Will they be implicated at all? Or are we just looking at the parents? And I know you have to look in the crystal ball. You don't have all the facts or all the information. Sure. But what would your best guess be?
Well, anybody that got into school through these corrupt purposes, if they didn't know, it's kind of hard to believe that they didn't know. Okay, but I can understand that perhaps parents, you know, loving the children would do these things without bringing their children into the loop. There are some children that absolutely, it seems to me, can't deny their knowledge of it. And those were the ones we talked about earlier in the photoshopping. But those that, say, presumably didn't know, you know, there's a great concern if they were going to be witnesses for the prosecution because they may have rights against self-incrimination. They may say, well, look, as a result of my testimony, I may incriminate myself and maybe I could be charged. So it would be difficult for an attorney to advise a subpoenaed student as to whether they should or shouldn't testify without knowing all the facts. But there may be other students that, as this investigation gets enlarged, may be charged as well. Some of these parents clearly put their children in harm's way in the more audacious, you know, facts of this case that we've read about in the newspaper. Some of them may be absolutely innocent. It's sad for the children that didn't know that it implicated in this. It has certain implications with respect to whether the schools are going to retain them, whether the schools are going to, you know, bounce them out.
Do you think that they'll lose their diplomas? Do you think some of these kids will have their diplomas ripped from them if they've already graduated?
You know, it's possible. The process is tainted. Their admission was tainted. Maybe their success in college was tainted by a continuing, you know, form of corruption with respect to individual professors, things of that nature. I'm sure it's going to take a thorough investigation before they make what is really a serious decision to bounce somebody out of school or withdraw their graduation degrees.
Right.
And so it's, you know, there's all kinds of things you think through. And you can think of a million consequences to all this, but it's just too early to say how it's going to play out. But that I've given a lot of thought to, you know, various facets.
And, you know, it's interesting, Jan, because you say there's millions of different permutations and combinations, but there are different facts on each case. So how do they move forward when there's at least 50 people indicted now? The facts are going to be different on each case. Is there any consolidation, or how do you do this fact-finding process, and how do you differentiate between someone who maybe gave $10,000 for a building versus someone who actually had someone take the test for their child?
Well, there's going to be a hierarchy to the seriousness of the violations. And there are, you know, those are things that will ultimately be taken into consideration by the judge in arriving at a fair sentence. And there are aggravating factors and there are mitigating factors. I mean, if somebody fraudulently corrupted the process by hiring somebody to take the test in their stead, you know, that seems real serious and that might call out for greater punishment. Somebody who just got in because their parents, you know, gave money, you know, to have a wing, you know, built onto one of the buildings, you know, maybe that's somewhat harmless compared to these other, but it's, you know, there's just, it's really complicated.
It is. And you know, and then there's that other situation where they talk about someone giving $500,000. I don't know if it was is that the Lori Loughlin situation with
hundreds of thousands, yeah.
Massimo, the guy. What, do they sell that stuff in Target or whatever?
Well, he's a designer.
They sell it at Target?
Maybe
that's why she had to go to USC because, you know, he was just embarrassed about where his stuff was at. Go ahead, Jen.
We've all known that has existed forever. And that's a form, not necessarily legal corruption, but it's a form, but it corrupts the process in that it gives advantage to people with money over people that don't have money. We've always known that's existed, and it certainly existed with respect to athletes and things of that nature. The public has always pretty much tolerated that aspect of it, as unfair as it may seem. But this is intolerable because it's corrupted down to the most base level of the test taking and forging of transcripts and phoning up, you know, sports records, things of that nature. So this is kind of an intolerable for the public, and the public will not stand for this, nor should the entire educational system. The educational system is going to have to take a step back and look at their entire admission procedures and reexamine if that's the road they want to take. And hopefully it'll even the playing field for those who don't have the resources to take advantage of what these people were able to do.
Well, also, too, when people give and they have buildings in their name and they have whatever, maybe a hall or you know, they give $10,000, a lot of times they do scholarships in their names, too, so they're paying for students to go there.
Sure.
So I've seen that, and maybe that kind of evens it out. It is a little, I mean, there's, you know.
Well, you know, I always wondered if these people have that much money, why don't they just give it to the kids and tell them to, you know, do whatever they want and stay out of school? Right. I mean, the idea, people go to school so they can get a good job after school, but these people don't need a good job.
If you're hoping your kids go on to do something in life, I mean, I grew up, you know, half my life in Beverly Hills, and half of those friends, they're just depressed, don't do anything, and their lives are miserable. And then the ones who actually got an education, who did something, and who do something for themselves and work are a lot happier. They're good. They're better people. They, you know, but so I think that's their, I think in all, I think kids and parents, they want their kids to succeed.
Jen, we only have another minute. How would you best predict, and I know it's hard to do, what's going to happen to some of these people? Jail time or alternative punishment? What do you think?
Well, you know, maybe some of the higher up people who really corrupted the entirety of the process and went on for years, they might look at some jail time. I would hope that the people who have no clean records, and not only hope, but think based on everything I know of the criminal justice system, that these people who have otherwise led law-abiding lives are likely to be punished by heavy fines, things of that nature, perhaps public work service, volunteer work. That's generally what happens in these low-level kind of, let's call them white-collar crime-type cases where there aren't huge financial losses to the community at large, and the pool of identifiable victims are somewhat hard to determine, and their losses are somewhat hard to determine. So, but that's about the best prediction I could make right now.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably a good prediction. We'll all watch and see how it all goes in the coming months. I think the main thing is we are going to see changes, and this has opened up a lot of people's eyes, not only a criminal defense attorney like you, but also obviously just the general public as we move forward and all of the competition that exists to get kids into school. Something's got to be done about it. Jan Ronas, we want to thank you for being with us today. Ronas and Ronas, And we will check in with you maybe as the months go by to see whether or not there's going to be jail time. I'm betting against your prediction. You did say some of the higher-ups, but I think there will be some sentences. So we'll see what happens. Thanks for being with us today.
Okay, it's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, Carrie, you know what's time for?
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our family.
Yeah, go ahead. It's time for you to get home, get healed, get that face back in shape. So the next time I see you, I can just have my jaw drop and say you're as beautiful as you were before you turned into this monster.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So you're going to drive me home.
I'm driving you home.
Two kids' seats in the back.
Yeah, go into the kids' seats, relax. I won't get any sun on you. Thanks for listening to Curry's Live. We'll see you next week.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervey & Wynn.